This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina's national forests play an important role in the state's environment and economy. And for the first time in 20 years, two of them are under review. The Forest Service is assessing the Pisgah and Nantahala Forest in western North Carolina and exploring the best ways to manage them moving forward. The process addresses competing land use interests like wilderness conservation, wildlife management, and recreation. This round of replanning is one of the first in the country to use new federal rules that would encourage the participation of a wide range of stakeholders. Carolina Public Press is taking a deep look at the future of these two forests, and we're joined now by the project's author, Jack Eigelman. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. You know, we should start out by really defining what a national forest is. It is not a national park. So tell us, what is a national forest?
Yeah, that's I'll let you know what a national park, their management really emphasizes preservation and conservation of natural resources. And national forest has a multi-use mandate, which means conservation is an important part of what they do, but they also provide a variety of uses for the public. And, you know, you hit on some of them. Recreation is a huge part of how people use the forest. They're also provide timber harvesting and mineral extraction. They protect watersheds. They manage wildlife. They manage scenic areas. There's, you know, the idea originally was to provide the greatest good for the greatest number of people. And so they juggle and a lot and provide a lot.
And this juggling and management, the idea that we're going to have to manage our forests to balance all of these priorities goes back to the turn of the 20th century when we noticed they were disappearing, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Forest Service was created in 1905, and originally it managed land west of the Mississippi, but the Weeks Act, which was passed in 1911, gave the federal government the authority to purchase land from willing sellers in the east. So it created the National Forest east of the Mississippi, and the first acquisition was in North Carolina.
So we're among the first again. Four national forests now in North Carolina, and two of them are currently under review. Tell us about this replanning process for the two forests in western North Carolina and why that's important.
Yeah. Well, number one, there are two different national forests, as you said, and they're combined and managed by one single plan, which makes sense. They're connected and close to each other. The last revision plan was the last management plan was done in 1994, and so we're rolling around on 20 years. So much has changed in the forest, the various threats to the forest, and this management plan will carry us forward to the next 15 years.
And so we're talking about Pisgah, Nantahala, Uwari, and Croatan might come up in another cycle. But
exactly.
We're talking about Pisgah, Nantahala forests, which really have a rich history and big success stories in a lot of ways as national forests go. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I think it's been referred to me and many times that 100 years ago was the land that no one really wanted. It had gone through several decades of really intense industrial logging, and it wasn't a pretty picture. And so, you know, really 100 years later, it's an amazing environmental success story to look around in western North Carolina at the incredible public forests that we have. It's not to say there aren't problems, but it really is an environmental success story, what we've done. And the first forest chief, Gifford Pinchot, made his mark managing the Biltmore Estate before there were national forests, the forest on the 100,000-acre Biltmore Estate. And he went on to be the first chief of the Forest Service. So I think we're really tightly connected to the history of public forests throughout the country. It's really ground zero in some ways here.
And, of course, these uses, this planning for how we're going to manage these forests has changed, and there have been periodic reviews since 1911. But this new rule established in 2012 is significant for the number of stakeholders it involves. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the Forest Service put a number of forest plans on hold as they devised a new framework for creating forest plans. The big changes are, number one, it made the process shorter, more streamlined. In the past, the forest planning process was 5 to 7 years. The mandate of this new planning process is a 3 to 4 year process. There's also less money allocated to it. And rather than looking at every bitty detail of managing a national forest, it really focuses on strategy and looking at overarching goals. The other piece that I think is really important about the new planning rule is it, you know, has looked at best practices in which to engage the public on a greater level. And it's been told to me, I think a good way to describe it, there are two pillars of the new planning rule. Number one, that it tries to use the very best science available to manage national forests. And number two, again, to really engage the public, the people who use the forest on the highest level.
And, of course, significantly, one of the ways in which public interest has changed over time, particularly since 1911, is when you're talking about the public, we're all very well organized when it comes to our particular interest, whether it's recreational, that includes hunting and hiking, logging, any kind of economic interest, and those who would choose to preserve the wilderness. Everybody's pretty well organized. So bringing those people to the table, it seems to me, is a task in itself.
Yeah, I don't. I prefer to report about this rather than be the Forest Service in the middle of it. I think they have a really tough job. The one thing that I've observed is looking at this process is just how passionate everyone is about the National Forest. That people love it. They care about it deeply, and they have, like you said, real specific interests about what they would like to see and how they would like to see it managed. And I think the Forest Service is really focused on, you know, managing it from the middle. It's really impossible to give every interest everything that they want. I think many people have described it to me saying, hey, if we can walk away with a forest plan that we can live with, then that's a great outcome. Not everyone's going to get everything that they want. And I think that's what makes the planning process so challenging.
We're talking about developing new plans for our Western National Forest today on The State of Things. Jack Eigelman is with me. He's a reporter for the Carolina Public Press. And I know, Jack, you've been attending some of these meetings. Give us an idea of some of the tensions, some of the conflicts, and the interests that are represented at the meetings.
Yeah, well, I think one interest are groups that are advocating for more wilderness. And wilderness, of course, is the highest level of land protection in the United States. It was created by the Wilderness Act of 1964, and the Pisgah and Nantahala National Forests have about 70,000 acres of wilderness, and not much goes on wilderness. It's managed as a pristine area. There's no logging, mineral extraction, things like that, no mountain bike riding, and there's a great degree of solitude. However, there have been no additions to the wilderness base since 1984 throughout the state. And so wilderness advocates would like to see more land recommended for wilderness. And they're pushing hard for that. They have, the Wilderness Society has identified the North Carolina Mountain Treasures, which is 41 areas, about more than 300,000 acres that they think are worthy of higher protection. They're not recommending that all of that land become wilderness, but those are the high priority pieces they'd like to see. On the other hand, I think what has surfaced as a big issue, wildlife advocates, such as hunters and biologists, other people who care about specific species of wildlife have been advocating for more forest management. In other words, they would like to see the Forest Service more actively manage the forest, which essentially means a little bit more tree cutting to go in and manage the various ages of the forest. And they argue that the Pisgah and Nantahala Forest has too much mature forest. In other words, because of the lack of resources and other reasons, the Forest Service hasn't done their job of managing the forest. They worry that more wilderness and other special designations may limit the Forest Service ability to do the kind of forest management that would create the kind of wildlife diversity that they would like to see.
Yeah, and I guess the point there is that by managing, essentially cutting down some trees, allowing younger forests to emerge, creates more diversity. And so you've got that competition between leave it alone and perhaps limit the diversity, create more diversity, but that means cutting down more trees. And we haven't even talked about the economic interests of cutting down the trees. And I know you're going to get to that as your series in the Carolina Public Press continues. So I want to thank you very much for your contributions today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jack Eigelman is a reporter for the Carolina Public Press. You can take a look at his investigative series, which he's just begun, in Western North Carolina's National Forest. We've got a link at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a theologian once opposed to homosexuality has had a change of heart. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.